Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back. This is the newly rejuvenated 1UP podcast shown through Anfield Index. And today I'm joined by Nick Rust. So, Nick, why don't you just introduce yourself a little bit to everyone?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Nick Rust. I am the host of the Literate Gamer podcast. We try to take a more highbrow view of games, both mechanics, story and narrative, all that kind of stuff.
Sounds good, and I will make sure to I'll plug that on my Twitter, and then we'll do a reminder at the end as well. Well, if you don't recognise my voice, it's me, Guy Drinkle, host of the Academy podcast. I'm normally around and about on the Anfield Index. I'm sure if you're into games, I'm sure we've crossed paths at some time. If not, just follow me on Twitter, just Guy Drink EL. Yeah, but we'll kick on. So Nick, just to get a bit of background on you, obviously you told us about your podcast there, but what consoles, do you play PC, what's your favourite game, stuff like that?
Sure. I grew up playing video games, and I am probably the first generation to have been able to do that the entire time. We got our first computer when I was like 5, and that was it. I was done. I was hooked. I am primarily a console gamer, just because I have a life, and it's easier to do.
Yeah, definitely so.
I do PC game because there's still there are games that don't translate to a console experience, so I like really complicated strategy games on PC. Yeah. Anything by Paradox is great. But I play lots and lots of stuff from a variety of genres. The only things I don't really particularly care for are sports games and platformers.
Yeah. Platformers, it's what I'd class as a free game you go on computer for. It's not what you pay for. And then
right.
Sports, I'm on a sports podcast, so I have to say I play sports, but I've kind of
forgot. Right.
FIFA's grew out. I think I've grew out of FIFA eventually. It's taken a while, but I finally grew out of it myself. But yeah, just a bit of background on me. I'm predominantly Xbox, so I will be focusing on that in future podcasts. But that's why I've got Nick on, actually, to get a perspective from PlayStation and other platforms as well. But I was planning on going on Pokemon Go, but might as well go on Pokemon Sky.
We can do Pokemon Go too. I've been playing that as well.
All right. We'll do No Man's Sky first because I don't think many people care about Pokemon Go. People know what Pokemon Go is, let's be honest. But No Man's Sky is what PlayStation 4 have been building this up for years. Like, Sony have been said this is like, it's just what next generation's been waiting for. But obviously, I can't play it because, well, my laptop's not good enough to get it on computer and I don't have a PlayStation. So, right. Nick, what do you think about the game? What is it actually as a game? Because they're kind of mysterious how it is. For me, it's just an exploring game. But what is it exactly?
Well, it is an object lesson in expectation, is what it is. Mm. There has been a storm of controversy in forums, as that's pretty much what forums are for.
Yeah.
But this one has been particularly bad. The amount of things that were promised versus what was delivered is sharply contrasted.
Mm.
Now, with that said, I will say I went into No Man's Sky with very little expectations. I had not been paying attention to the hype because
yeah.
I have – this is not my first rodeo. I'm a big fan of Peter Molyneux games, so I have had my hearts – my hopes dashed multiple times, and I've learned to – if something sounds too good to be true, it is, and I just didn't participate in that. With zero expectations, the game's pretty decent. It's a solid 6.5 out of 10. But again, you can see the rough edges where everything was like hacked off to make production deadlines.
Yeah.
At its core, it is an exploration game.
Yeah.
And it's procedurally generated, and because it's procedurally generated, Spore is going to come up as a comparison, and that's fairly apt, because Spore was another game that overpromised, underdelivered, and did so with procedurally generated. Even from a stylized perspective, like the graphics of No Man's Sky do have this kind of Spore-esque feel to them, particularly the alien races, and I blame that on the procedural generated engine, because I'm sure that rounded look to things that where you have different parts of the aliens that are more modular so that the game can create them on the fly is actually a technical concern, but it actually comes through and you can see, you're like, oh wow, that looks like it came right out of Spore Creature Creator. Neat. The exploration does get kind of monotonous because it's very much rinse and repeat.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. From an outsider looking in, I watched it on Twitch and like, it's a beauty. It looks. It's a good looking game.
It is.
What do you do?
Well, you
just go on a planet and then it just shoots a laser at some rocks and then laughs at the weird animals that someone's named fucking something stupid.
This is a game that really requires you to set your own goals.
Mm.
Because the game itself only has one goal. It's a bare minimum of what would count as a story or a directive. Throughout the game, and you're basically just trying to get to the center of the universe. At this point, I have not finished the game, so I have no idea why I'm going to the center of the universe, because they certainly haven't explained to me why I would want to do that yet.
It's a fair point, but you made a point that like you could see the rough edges on stuff like that. Do you think this game could, I know it was delayed massively, but do you think it should have been further delayed?
Yes. I do. Either that or they should have reined in expectations from the beginning.
Yeah.
If development continues in any meaningful way, this could be a really great game in a year or two.
Just to compare it to, it's not the same game as, say, I'm going to try and compare it to Destiny. But I think in terms of like when we saw Destiny first came in, that game was kind of, it just felt like it was a bit rushed, but when like the Taken King DLC came out, that kind of, it just made it feel a bit more whole. Is that a valid comparison that like in a year's time we'll see the finished product?
You know, that's actually a pretty apt comparison, because I myself played Destiny at launch.
Yeah.
And then the story at launch was, it was terrible.
It was shit.
it wasn't really even there. It was just like, I could tell you why, but I won't, because we didn't have the budget to pay the writing guy any more money. And whoever came up with those grimoire cards should lose their job.
Yeah.
Because that is a terrible way of like doing lore and backstory and narrative. But I digress. I think the real problem here is that this game was targeting core gamers from the beginning. Had they approached this from a more casual or everyday kind of gamer perspective, it would have been a slam dunk.
Because it looks like one of those games where you can, like, not everyone's got hours on end to just game, like hardcore game. Like, you can, it's not like The Witcher, for example, where you have to put in hours after hours to get the full experience of it. This looks like a game to me where you can hop on for an hour or two, just wander about and just genuinely just piss about for an hour. Just wander.
Yeah. And The Witcher's a good example too. Because if you spend an hour in The Witcher compared to like 24 hours of gameplay in The Witcher, your gameplay experience changes.
Yeah.
Thoroughly. Like, it's a completely different game almost.
If you spend an hour on The Witcher, you're going to go shopping, let's be honest.
Right. No Man's Sky, you spend an hour on No Man's Sky versus you spend 24 hours in No Man's Sky, it's effectively the same game.
Yeah.
Like, the labels have changed, but none of your experience will have changed. The gameplay approach is entirely the same. What I like to call the meta, like how a human being actually plays the game, is entirely the same. And there's only really one way to do it.
Yeah, that was my worry with it. I remember watching the 2015 E3 where PlayStation fans thought it was like a game changer. It looked like a game that was going to change the whole console wars is a whole lot of shit to me, but they thought that'd be the thing that made PlayStation go head to head with PC rather than Xbox. But it just looks like a game that, I don't want to say let down because obviously I haven't played it, but it just looks very bland. Is that a good way of describing it?
It is bland in the most awe-inspiring way possible.
Mm.
Because this game actually does do some things, especially from a technical perspective, that are really amazing and are really pushing the envelope, but it's just mired in this mediocrity of gameplay, which is a shame. Had they targeted this differently, I think the reception would have been much different. Like, my wife is not a gamer.
Yeah.
But my wife picked this game up and has been trying to play it since release.
Yeah.
Because she's really attracted to this idea of the exploration aspect of finding all this stuff. And she doesn't necessarily see all the math behind the game that I do because I've played a lot of games. It's part of my process. And so I can see the modules as they snap into the procedural generation. Yeah. I can see all the similarities. I can see the development behind the game. She doesn't see any of that stuff. And she's absolutely amazed.
Yeah, it just seems weird. But I think the most important question is this game worth getting?
I do. Mm. But I think it's worth getting with reasonable expectations, which is not really possible for a lot of people at this point because of marketing. And this is totally on Hello Games and Sony. They knew what they were doing, and they did it anyway.
Yeah.
Is anybody going to learn anything from this? No, I don't think they will. It might be a couple more years until this happens again, but I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with Star Citizen.
As long as they're making money, why change it, I suppose?
Right, there's zero incentive for them to change because this thing printed cash its first 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, one thing that might make a difference about this game is while I'm playing this, I feel like I'm playing the first really amazing VR game, but it's not actually VR ready yet.
That's an interesting point because I'm not a big fan of VR because I see the point of it, but it doesn't really excite me. But that game in that setting would be beautifully perfect for it.
Yeah, this is like, and I kind of wonder if it's not going to be VR, but Sony hasn't announced it yet because it's not done or ready. Sony VR doesn't drop until October.
Yeah.
It's not outside the realm of possibility. We haven't actually seen a list of VR compatible games that are coming out. My fervent hope is that this and Skyrim, the re-release of Skyrim, will be VR ready with Sony VR hits. And if those two things happen, I may require intravenous nutrients because I don't know that I'll be leaving the couch.
Oh, God. I think I'd have to buy a PlayStation if Skyrim went VR. Or at least steal my brother's. But yeah, I think from what you've said, that I'd describe No Man's Sky as either get it or wait for it to go down in price, then get it, because it'll probably be a better game in a year's time. That's what it sounds like to me. So I think your assessment of it seems fair from the little I've seen. But I think the best way of describing it is an intriguing game. It's kind of not the one for hardcore gamers, as you said, one for just to piss about on.
Right. We really hope that this is going to be like a toolbox for core gamers to really, they really wanted that immersive space exploration, trading, pirating, combat thing. But all of those pieces are there in the most and the least meaningful way possible. You can see where all the complexity was just drained out of the entire thing. Like you'll pop into a solar system and there will be these giant, like super big battleships that look amazing and you can fly right up to them and there is nothing you can do with them. Like they just sit there and you'll see them warp in and you're like, that's metal. But there's nothing, there's no reason for them. It's just the skybox at this point.
I think something that we've possibly overlooked, obviously, it's meant to be billed as not a multiplayer. It has multiplayer in because they said they were surprised that two people have met up, but does...
Oh, have we confirmed that?
I don't know.
Because to my knowledge, I don't think there is any multiplayer.
Isn't there? Because obviously people have said they've met up with each other, and then I think their developers said they were surprised at that. But is it a game that should have constant multiplayer, do you reckon?
I think if it did, yeah, it would help a lot.
Yeah.
I think it would bring a lot more variety and interest to the overall gameplay experience. Because exploring is cool, but exploring with friends is better.
That is an outstanding point. And I mentioned it before we started recording, and one of the games I'm looking forward to next year is Sea of Thieves, and it's kind of a similar game, but obviously it's pirates rather than space, and they're saying why be a pirate on your own or make it better by going pirating with your mates, and then I think that's what they've missed out on. They've made it a lonely game, from what you're saying here.
Yes, they have, and you really feel that loneliness, it's an excellent engine for like existential dread, because you're like, I'm the only thing of any like sapience in this entire universe.
It's like Red Dwarf without anyone else.
yeah, except you don't have a hologram or a cat. You're really just
not even a robot,
right?
That's the weirdest way I've ever used Red Dwarf in my life.
That's a fantastic Red Dwarf reference, by the way. I gotta get props for that, because those are hard to fit into regular conversations.
What show that was, though?
I think the multiplayer would bring to the table is an ability for players to create novel gameplay experiences in a game that struggles desperately to carry those through.
Yeah.
With the inclusion of multiplayer, we could have individual experiences that are not coded into the base game, and that would do a lot to substantiate the gameplay value. It wouldn't actually change anything, but it would make it feel better. It would make it feel more meaningful or interesting. So, without that, with multiplayer, this would be a solid 7.5.
Yeah. It's just a weird one with how everything seems to be multiplayer today, and then the games that aren't multiplayer seem special. We used The Witcher earlier. Let's use it again. That's a game that definitely doesn't need multiplayer, whereas No Man's Sky definitely does. By what you're saying,
yes,
it just seems unfinished, which obviously we've been on about.
Yeah, so, it absolutely is unfinished. Because you can even see in the DNA. Where the expectations for all the stuff was, and then you can see the choices they had to make to get to something, some semblance of that particular niche. So I really hope they continue to develop this further, but I don't know. I don't know that I've ever seen a game that has developed itself that much post-release.
Yeah,
it was not an online only game.
I think we'll move on from No Man's Sky. So, I think what did you say? 6 out of 10 in its current format, and then if they end up developing multiplayer, 7.5.
Yeah, and I don't do inflations because a lot of game reviewers like to make an average game be a 7. An average game for me is really a 5. Like, that's where the average should be. It is above average. They do a lot of interesting things. But this is not a game that you're going to be able to sink 80 hours in and feel like it was time well spent.
Mm.
After 20, maybe 30, you kind of feel like you've seen it all.
Yeah, I think that's a shame. And especially, obviously, we've mentioned the hype.
Yes.
I think that's a shame because they kind of build it as an endless game, which has never really been seen before apart from big-ass MMOs.
Right. It was almost billed as like a video game messiah.
Yeah.
Come to save us from our boredom. But, yeah, no, it's more like a crazy street preacher than that.
Hmm. Yeah, so I think overall, if you're a casual gamer and you fancy just exploring, it's a game for you. If you're a hardcore gamer, get it, living in hope that it'll get developed further.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to convert anybody to PlayStation that isn't already there.
Yeah.
That's the real important thing.
Yeah.
This is not one of those conversion games.
It's not Crash Bandicoot, the bastard. Sony bastards.
We're just going to take a quick break and we'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to the Anfield Index podcast channel.
But we'll move on. We mentioned it like in passing, but between the rejuvenation of this podcast, Pokemon Go's came on the scene and it's just taken everywhere by storm, especially in the first couple of weeks that it was released, and probably the week before that, because people downloaded it earlier, especially in this country. But have you been overawed by Pokemon Go?
I have been playing it. I admit I have not been playing it as much in the past couple of weeks as I did at first.
That same thing for me.
It's interesting because this is a game that you play when you're doing other stuff.
Yeah.
Because when I'm playing games and I sit and I have a lot of time to play games, I'm at home, and I'm really just interacting with my TV or my console or what have you, but that is the worst possible place to play this game. And so, it's nice that it kind of fills in this little spot in my day-to-day life where I didn't have games to play, but I don't know that I necessarily needed that.
Yeah.
But now that I have it, that's kind of cool. I'm like, oh, I gotta go to the grocery store. Well, the grocery store's a fucking Pokestop, so sign me up.
That's what I'm like. I used to be like, we got a dog in my family at Christmas time, and I was like, oh, I can't be arse walking this. Then Pokemon came about, and so I only live in a small town, and the town centre's got 2 Pokestops. I'm like, I can go for a walk.
Right?
I'm sure people have seen that meme of the tired dog saying, I don't even know what a Pokemon is, but especially in the first couple of weeks, that's what it was like. it's quite in down now, but in terms of mobile gaming, is this brought it up to another level?
Yes. But not because of the technical supremacy of particular design. What this game did that other games like it have not been able to do is hit critical mass.
Mm.
Because this is a game.
And hardcore gamers.
Right. Because this is a game my entire family plays.
Mm.
My son turns 9 next week and he is probably the perfect age to play this game. So I could not have picked a better time for this game to be in release for him to enjoy it the most.
Yeah.
And it has gotten us as a family together and out of the house. Like, I actually was like, let's go to the park. That is literally something that has never happened before in my entire life. I am thoroughly allergic to everything outside. Because I live in the Midwest, and we have trees and grasses, and I'm allergic to apparently all of it. But I was like, let's go to the park, because there's like 15 Pokestops there. And so we'd go to the park and eat and, you know, hang out for a couple of hours.
Come on, Dad's running out of Pokeballs.
Right? I don't know that I've ever had an experience where a game actually changed my behaviors or the way I live like this game has. Now, there's going to be something to said about maintaining that inertia, which so far is not really done, because I can already see the high watermark of interest, both like collectively as a society and me individually. I haven't stopped playing it, but I'm not as excited.
Yeah.
Right. Or enthralled. Yeah. Exactly.
It's I'm kind of in the same boat as you, but I think what the case is that people literally have run out of Pokeballs. I mean,
yes.
Unless you live in a big ass city where there's a Pokestop literally every corner or every street. It's, I think people, for me especially, I live in a town. Like, I don't have a gym in my town or anything that. So I've barely experienced gyms and all that stuff. So I've spent loads of time on it, but I haven't experienced everything in it yet. So I think what they need to do is start giving out free Pokeballs to get back the magic that it was first, when it was first released.
And, like, the individual geographies of different places are weird. Because in the U.S., we have our population density is pretty low for the most part. It's a lot of, like, mid-level residential suburbs here, which are, like, barren wastelands in terms of Pokemon. I mean, it's not as bad as the rural areas, but in my particular neighborhood, like, there's nothing going on here. But if we get in the car and we drive, we can find a good spot within 10 to 15 minutes. And my favorite anecdote about this is around the corner from my house, we have a retirement home for Catholic nuns. Now, I wasn't even aware that such a thing existed or that they needed them. Like, I
thought they just lived at church.
Right. I never really thought about the fact that nuns would retire. I just assumed they were nuns forever, and they just did nun stuff. We have this retirement home for nuns, and it has 8 Pokestops. And it's nice because it has this little circle drive all around the exterior of this building. So you can get in your car, and you can drive, and you can hit all of them within about 4 minutes. So you're just about ready for the first one you hit to come back up when you're done. And the first weekend that Pokemon Go was released, I was driving by on a busier road that's right next to it, and I was like, holy crap, look at all those Pokestops. So my son and I, we pull the car over, and we start driving around the circle. I pull in. I'm not even kidding you. There were a dozen people there, all looking at their phones, wandering around, and these very old geriatric nuns have to be sitting in this building looking outside going, what's going on out there?
There'll definitely be one of them playing Pokemon Go, just not telling them.
Yeah, there's probably one of them in there that's playing, and she's like just obliterating all these like 9, 13-year-olds that are coming to take her gym, and she's like, not on my watch!
Lord be my name, bitch. God. But I have a similar experience. There's like a long stretch of road, and there's like 2 Pokestops right next to each other. And you can just see cars parked there. Like, you can just see. Me and my mate did it once for like an hour. We sat there. We went and got McDonald's and sat there. And you just saw there was groups of people outside the cars. And it's literally, bearing in mind, there's like a cafe out there that's open at lunchtime.
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone park there past like 7 o'clock. From like 7 till probably about 12 at midnight, it was full. Every time I drive past, it's got a lure on. There's loads of people surrounded. It's like, what the fuck is going on? It's just,
yeah. We've actually changed our restaurant habits since Pokemon Go has been released. There's a restaurant near us that is a Pokestop that specializes in like breakfast, brunch, lunch stuff. And so we've eaten there like 4 times since this game has been released.
Oh,
and we had probably eaten there twice in the year before. Because to be fair, the food there is not very good.
Yeah.
And it's always like really super crowded. And it's this really weird demographic that is just kind of like out of sorts with the rest of the area. Because the rest of the area is kind of like laid back, semi-liberal for Indianapolis, which is where I'm located. But this place is like super like, we love America, like super like almost like bordering on nationalist kind of like stuff. And like
they vote
everything.
Donald Trump.
Right. Yes. That's ultimately what I'm getting at here. And we, here we are just sitting there hoping nobody figures out that we're like, you know, liberals playing Pokemon Go sitting in your restaurant. But yeah.
Hillary who?
Right. We're like, minorities are bad. We like guns.
Oh, but I think we'll have to try and move on from Pokemon Go. But
fair enough.
Just to end, obviously there's been petitions wanting is it Niantic? I can't remember how you pronounce
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Niantic.
They want people to they want them to make a Harry Potter Go.
Oh my god.
Is that a good oh my god or a
yes.
bad oh my god?
I never realized I wanted that in my life until you said those words, and now I can't imagine a life without it.
So is this a whole new genre of gaming?
It's actually not new. AR games have been around since like 2009. I can't remember the name of it, but I played one that was really in the early stages. Mm. And like their premium cash shop currency was meat.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I don't know. It was so weird. And the graphics were so bad. It was literally like just a little picture of a dude's face, like that somebody made in Microsoft Paint was your avatar, and you would kill monsters in your neighborhood. And from there was a small, like, I don't know, three or four of them came out in like 2010, 2011, including Paranormal Activity, actually. The movie franchise had one.
That'd be so weird.
Yeah, no, it was actually pretty good. Unfortunately, it never really hit the level of participation to be really developed, but they had this whole thing where like gates to hell would open up, and you could basically be a good guy or a bad guy. And so like you were taking over like areas of your local town for like for the demonic forces, or were you an exorcist and you were expelling the demons. It was good. I was like,
that
I played that for a while.
Amazing in a
it
bad
was.
Way.
But then it just kind of like disappeared and evaporated. And then of course, Ingress came out like, I don't know what, 3 years ago, maybe. I have to look it up. But that was a game that was very poorly designed.
Yeah.
Just because I'm a core gamer. And I picked it up and I was like, I can't fucking be bothered to figure this thing out. It's got way too much going on. They explain nothing. All of these terms are meaningless outside of this game. I have no idea how to meaningfully play this game, and I ended up putting it down after a couple of days. And so when I heard that they were doing Pokemon Go, I was mystified. But thankfully they have fixed the things that made Ingress bad by retaining the elements of it that made it good. And Ingress was apparently just research and development for Pokemon Go, because the Ingress players are the ones that went out and identified all these things that we're now using as Pokestops and gyms.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I don't think that's that. Well, maybe people have seen it in this country, but it hasn't come to my attention. Especially AR is kind of just new with Pokemon Go to me, but I think Pokemon Go is the thing that is going to make AR games next, like a constant new game genre.
Yeah, this is going to be the new fad.
Yeah.
In game design for a while. Thankfully, I think the backend resources to execute something like this are a little above what your average startup developer is going to be capable of doing. So that cost of entry should help declutter the marketplace, but I don't know if it's going to be enough. I think there's still going to be a bunch.
Yeah. As long as one Harry Potter, who gives a shit?
Right! Right! Like, I need that now, and I need that soon.
You need to go sign that petition, that's what you need to
do. I do! I'm pulling it now.
Pokemon Go is just... I think it's just simply fantastic. I think that's the best way of putting it.
Yeah, I think it's especially interesting because the way it's made, people change how they do things outside of the game. Like, it's getting them to go outside. It's getting them to talk to people they wouldn't normally talk about. I don't care how good your game is. To be able to accomplish that feat is nothing short of miraculous.
Yeah, I think that's great.
I think it really speaks more to the power of the franchise than it does the actual gameplay itself. Yeah. But this is really cool. Just from a game, either a player or a critic perspective, that this was something that happened, and we'll be examining this and reevaluating this, probably for a couple of years to try and figure out which parts were doing what. Yeah. I never would have expected that it would have, accumulated the amount of pop culture cachet that it has done so, so quickly.
Mm. It was just like the first 2 weeks was just unbelievable. It was just crazy.
Especially it was unbelievable if you could actually play the game because it crashed so much.
Well, it wasn't that bad over here. A couple of days. But we'll move on from Pokemon Go because I think everyone in the world's played it at this point. obviously Gamescom was recently happened, and E3 obviously happened earlier in the summer, but we won't go through every game, but what games from these what the fuck would you call them?
Conventions, I guess, is probably the best.
Yeah, what from these game conventions, what would you say stood out for you in terms of actual games rather than consoles? Because we've seen Scorpio and stuff like that, but we won't go into them.
Well, from E3, the Zelda stuff was amazing. And I am not a Zelda fan. I am not particularly a Nintendo fan. I can't even remember the last time I played a Zelda game. But that was on point. That looked good. Like, now I'm thinking about, can I justify buying a new console to play this game? I will probably let somebody else do it and then actually play it to see how I am. But that was good to see Nintendo doing something in that game space, because they've been kind of reliant on two or three.
Yeah.
This is Zelda, so this is one of their foundation stone.
Mario and Zelda.
Right.
It's not. It gets boring after a little while.
I think my dark horse favorite from E3 though was this game called Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes, PlayStation exclusive, I believe.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I have reservations about this game, but I am very intrigued.
Mm.
From everything I can tell from the very limited information that's been released, I think that the gameplay itself is going to be something closer to Monster Hunter. Which is one of the few franchises that I am just absolutely addicted to. They release one every year, but I buy them every time because I can't get enough. I've been playing that game since it was released. And I really like that combat approach. So if they come anywhere close to that kind of style of gameplay, I'm done. I'm good. I'll buy into the whole robot dinosaurs. It sounds ridiculous, but I don't care. If the gameplay is there, I'm along for the ride. I got my hat on. Let's go.
That's what we've talked about No Man's Sky, but that game, Horizon, piqued my interest much more than No Man's Sky when it was shown
the year too. Before.
Now, that's kind of weird. As I said, I'm Xbox only, but it's like I want this fucking game. It's got right? fucking robot dinosaurs, man. For me, on Xbox, exclusively, Sea of Thieves, I think that's pretty much my perfect game. Getting drunk, sailing a pirate ship and shooting people. It's Assassin's Creed Black Flag without all the crappy assassin stuff.
The Assassin's Creed franchise did that game no favors. At no point was I playing Black Flag and was like, I'm glad this is an Assassin's Creed game. That game really, the Assassin's Creed stuff really got in that game's way, so I'm glad to see that somebody noticed, and they're bringing something interesting to the pirate table. I'm actually very envious because I don't have an Xbox One. I went solely PlayStation this time around. This has got me thinking maybe it's time to get an Xbox as well.
Yeah.
Dead Rising is one of my favorite franchises, and I've had to just take a pass on it this time around, even with 4 coming out. But now, with Dead Rising, this, and State of Decay, I might have enough justification to actually get an Xbox One.
Yeah, State of Decay looks it looks interesting. I tried the first one, but kind of lost interest quite quickly.
Oh,
the first time I died, I was like, I can't be asked. I fucked up.
I don't know what it was about that particular game, but like, it got me. I was hooked. I played so much of that game. I actually thought about getting an Xbox One just to get the remastered version of the original.
And number 2 has multiplayer as well, I believe.
Yes. Oh.
So that should be fantastic. But I think, what is it? Is it Days Gone? PlayStation's big game this year, along with God of War.
Probably.
Yeah.
I figured it was going to be No Man's Sky and God of War, for sure.
And Crash Bandicoot stole the show.
Oh yeah.
I'm still sad. but yeah, I think Days Gone, it looks interesting. Obviously, it's only a demo at the moment. Or the E3 demo. That's the only thing I've seen from it. So there might have been some more at Gamescom. But it looks interesting. I think it'll need work. But it'll be interesting to see how long it is, actually, and how much detail it is and what the story is. But I think that'll be one that'll be to keep an eye on rather than get excited about at this moment.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to... Cautious optimism is the closest I'm going to get right now.
Yeah.
There's just too many unknown variables going on.
And then, I don't think Xbox had... They didn't have much in terms of exclusives. Gears of War 4, can they rejuvenate the franchise? They didn't really do that well with Halo. Since Bungie just fucked off. But yeah, I played the beta for the multiplayer. It was quite fun for Gears of War. So that'll be interesting. And then there wasn't really many exclusives. Obviously, you got the deals with EA, so Battlefield, Titanfall, which is now available on PS4, which the multiplayer test is available for. Well, this podcast won't be out, but next weekend. So that'll be worth looking into for people. So Titanfall, give that a go.
Yeah.
I can assure you it's quite good. It's pretty damn good. Xbox was more about the new release of consoles for me.
Yeah, which it seems a little early to be releasing fancier versions of current gen consoles.
I can see the point of the Xbox One S, but I don't think anyone knows what Scorpio is, really, to be exact.
Right.
That's the weird thing. But yeah, I think on a game's perspective, I think PlayStation had the better E3, but depending on what Scorpio is, because obviously it's been compared to be the power, it's said to be the most powerful console going, so I think that may have been the biggest thing. But it was a weird one. It wasn't the best E3.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I think really this is a really good cross-platform year, at least for me, because we've got the re-release of Skyrim, which I will buy.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Day one. we got Dishonored 2.
Yeah.
And Deus Ex. So for all those launching or dropping this year, that's... And we all get to reap the benefits of that. So.
And Call of Duty falls back if you spend £80. which I will undoubtedly will, because I game share. I think we'll move on. I think people, if you want to look into the games that we mentioned, there'll be plenty of footage from E3 and Gamescom. Just because I want to keep people up to date with what games are coming out. In the month of August, games that have came out and are coming out. No Man's Sky came out. F1 2016 came out on Friday. Deus Ex comes out on the 23rd, which I think is the biggest one of the month. Assetto Corsa, Attack of the Titan. I'm just using the game website here, people. God Eater 2, Rage Burst, and then there's a new World of Warcraft DLC. So it's not the busiest month of gaming, but Deus Ex, it's not my cup of tea, but it tends to be a fantastic franchise. So I think that'll probably be one to keep an eye out on.
Yeah, I'm actually intrigued by this Attack on Titan game, too.
Hmm.
I played the 3DS game. It was middling level at best.
Yeah.
But I hope the PS4 can actually bring some more variety and interesting gameplay mechanics to the table. Although I don't know, I feel that the source material is too limiting to really deliver an excellent game. Because, I mean, you can only attack so many giant dudes before it starts to get repetitive and boring.
And I've not really looked into it, but that does sound... Ooh, boss battle. Ooh, yeah. Boss battle.
As a villain, they're very limited because they don't even... They're not intelligent. They don't have... They can't communicate. It's... I would almost rather it be a, I don't know, zombie game. I don't know, something. I don't know.
I think we'll see. We've got too many zombie games.
Yeah, I know we do, don't we?
I think this has been a fantastic first new episode of the One Up podcast. Do you want to plug your podcast again on your Twitter, just for the reminder of the people?
Yeah, absolutely. We just started releasing our podcast, which is Literate Gamer. You can find that at literategamer.com. We just got done with Gen Con 2016. Which is the world's biggest tabletop gaming convention. Yeah. So it's lots of board games, tabletop RPGs, things like that. We're not just limited to video games. We'll cover anything gamer-oriented, in fact.
Yeah.
We actually have some cultural pieces in the queue right now, too. So we like to talk about things that are going on in that cultural space of gamers, not just the video games themselves. I mean, obviously, it is still in the genre of two dudes talking about stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm not, like, setting new records or anything there. Yeah. We are trying to segue into more of a an interview focus. We managed to get a couple of really good interviews while we were at Gen Con. Our Robin Law's interview, the guy who did Feng Shui, Hill Folk, and Gumshoe. For whatever reason, sat down with us and talked for a good half hour, 40 minutes, and that was a fantastic interview. That should be our next episode, either coming out this coming week or the week after. We're still debating on our release schedule. We're currently semi-monthly, but we're looking to go weekly soon.
All right.
So, and on Twitter, you can find us at Literate Gamer, or because I can't be fucking bothered to tweet on the Literate Gamer Twitter account. You can find me at Stochastic Life. So
yeah, it'll be tweeted out with the podcast.
Sure.
But anyone who's got a love of gaming, I'm sure you can tell from listening to the podcast that Nick is a fantastic follow, and I'm sure he'll be able to give you his opinion on games, anything that he's looking forward to, or anything like that through Twitter. So I highly recommend following him. He's not the biggest football fan.
Admittedly, I am not.
So, if you obviously, this is Anfield Index, so there'll be a lot of football fans. So, don't be going tweeting him football. next episode on the One Up podcast, I think we'll be doing a crossover with the comic book guys. And we'll be looking at comic book games. So, Arkham series, early Spider-Mans maybe, on the PlayStation. So, that should be fun. But that'll probably be next month. So this has been your host, Guy Drinkle. Thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.